Welcome to the Pop Culture Palace Presents podcast, the official show for the Pop Culture Palace website. Every other week on this feed, you will find an episode from a rotating group of shows. This week, we bring you a regularly scheduled programming, Episode 6, Rachel's Baby. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Al Sedano. So this episode started because my wife Kim and I have been watching Friends on Netflix and this got us started on talking, which is basically how all episodes of this show go. We were watching something and it got us started talking. And we were talking about Friends, but halfway through it's going to change over as Kim's going to go on a bit of a rant. It's entertaining. At least I found it entertaining. Hopefully you will too. Also, like usual, we're recording this when we're sitting outside on our lanai in the evening, so there will be some nature sounds in the background. You'll also hear the air conditioner running. Sorry about that. However, listening to it, our voices are definitely way louder than that, so hopefully it's not an issue for you. Anyway, here we go.
Okay, so that would have been a great way to lead the story off in a totally different direction. Rachel's got the ring on.
Mm-hmm.
And Ross is talking to Phoebe all confused. Why does she think she's engaged? Did I propose? Wait, I haven't slept in 40 hours. Sounds like something I would do. And Rachel's already proven that she gets a little embarrassed if someone tries to contradict her reality.
Yes.
So why couldn't have they just written it to where Ross assumes they're engaged, Joey talks to Rachel, so Rachel just decides to go with Ross's assumption, knowing that she doesn't want to tell Ross the truth.
I guess you're saying, fair is fair.
Right.
Because he kept them married when they weren't.
Right.
And he was planning, but at least this time he was planning on doing it,
right.
So it's not as bad when she does it. It's more funny.
And then at some point during the engagement when they're planning it all, it comes out what really happened. They have a brief fight. It's pretty damn funny. But they then realize, you know, they do the kind of romantic things they did with Chandler and Monica. They come near to that point like they did with Chandler and Monica when she went after, you know, went to Richard's
when they got
house.
Engaged.
Yeah. And have it done that way. They're engaged, planning. Truth comes out. Everything blows up. But it's Emma, their baby. And
that's right.
Then they get married.
Not the stupid.
Not this really, really dumb line where not only, okay, fine, she said yes to Joey. She was sleep deprived and hormonal. You know, their postpartum depression can be so extreme that women no longer want their children. They actually want to kill themselves and their kids. So believe me, a pregnant woman saying yes and assuming somebody proposed to her, really not far off the mark of
and going by, well, you did it too in the show. Didn't he say yes to that letter when they got back together for like half an episode after
yeah.
that beach house thing? After reading it in like 5 a.m. It was only 5 a.m.
Yeah.
He wasn't up for 20 hours at that, you know.
My point
pushing.
Is simply that, so the way that they go with this, which is Ross and Rachel think they want to get back together, but then when Ross finds out that Rachel actually considered saying yes to Joey, he decides they're not going to get back together, which is completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, what? I'm sorry. She had a vision of being alone, and it sounded like a good thing. And it was a pretty piece of jewelry. Why the heck wouldn't she put it on? Come on. Now, you know, I know it's in Ross's character to overreact, but so many of the episodes leading up to her having the baby had them both maturing quite a bit.
Well, they had the one where she didn't tell her dad, and her dad came and yelled at him, and Phoebe sits down to watch the fight.
Yeah.
And instead, they calmly discuss it.
Right. But
like adults.
Even when she moves in and everything, I mean, there's so much leading up to them just maturing very quickly. Like when she says, I don't want you to date, it's not because I want you for myself, but because I want you on my beck and call. Like, I need you. And he goes, okay, you know what? You're right. I'm going to be here. It's them consistently putting the baby first.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the baby's here and they stop doing that. Usually that only reaffirms that whole mentality. If parents start putting the child first before the child's even born, usually the child being born makes that feeling permanent and bigger. It doesn't regress. So it
unless, of course, you're running a TV show and you feel the only way to keep it popular is to just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Which, let's put it this way, I remember watching this the first time, and when the whole thing happened and it regressed to them not getting back together, I almost stopped watching the show. Because to me it was...
Well, the thing that kept me watching the show was because the Chandler Monica thing...
I actually stopped...
Had progression and stuff happened. It wasn't just, let's do the same thing over and over again.
I missed a bunch of episodes in between because I stopped watching the show for a little while. Because I was just like, I had so had it with the ridiculousness that was Ross and Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to just do that over and over again, just watch that second, third season over and over again. When they did that the first time.
Yeah.
Or the second time, or the third time, whatever.
Because you know, I hate how they got them back together. I absolutely hate it.
At the end of the show?
Yeah. I hate it. At this point, what they should have done is they should have moved the drama over to it being Phoebe. They should have moved the love interest dramas to Phoebe and Joey.
And they did kind of. I mean, Phoebe, and then within this next season or two, meets Mike and gets married.
But my point is that's where it should have been. The drama should have been primarily with that.
Well, and obviously they've shown they can do enough drama with, because they, you know, with Chandler and Monica and progress it. I don't know why they were panicked about them.
Yeah. You know, you could still keep it funny. You can still keep it interesting. You know, have an episode where Emily calls. I don't know. Have an episode where Carol comes to Ross having problems with Susan. And it gets a little questionable. Come on, you can play with it quite a bit without it turning into a full-on ridiculousness.
I think that's their strengths. With those two characters.
The thing is they assumed that the audience had absolutely no relationship maturity, and I you know what, I can't say that they're wrong, because I don't know if Hollywood does it because that is how people perceive it and want, or if people want and perceive it because Hollywood has fed it to them for so long. But this whole idea of the unrequited love and the love that's challenged and the love that has a lot of insurmountable mountains to overcome, and that's what true love is so absurd.
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, I think, like, when the show was first written, they probably wrote it for, like, the people who are the same age as they are. I think it's almost like sometimes, like, they just assume the audience never changed.
Right. The audience never grew up.
Or the audience just went away after a year, and it was a new audience of that age again, so therefore they're still writing for only 24-year-olds, not the people who were 20 to 25 when the show came out, and now at this point it's season, what, 9 or 10? They're now 30 to 35-year-olds.
You know, shows have always tried to, in other aspects of life examples, have often tried to be the example of a better version. You know, with the exception of the shows that choose to go completely the other way. Married with Children.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Right. But for the most part, when you're dealing, like, Family Ties, crime shows, they try to deal with the better example. Political shows, West Wing, very much about what a really decent and moral president would be, and what a not perfect but much moral, better grounded staff would be like. You know, crime shows, how they're so dedicated to their jobs, and they're not perfect, but they definitely exemplify a much better moral grain
is
seen everywhere.
Yeah, when they do things like that, they do that. That's the point, usually the point of the show, like The Shield.
Right.
Where the point of the show was they're corrupt.
Right.
It wasn't about, you know, the good guy becoming corrupt. It was just...
Right. Like, unless the show is purposely doing that, they always try to exemplify a better version. The idea, more closer to the ideal. And they try not to do a perfect utopia, but they try to do a better version. So even in cop shows, when you see that really racist, jackass cop, they always show that cop getting taken down.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, unfortunately, it isn't reality, but it is what we would want reality.
That's not that they're showing as the main heroic character.
But what's interesting, when it comes to romantic relationships, they more often prefer to exemplify the unhealthy relationship. You know, here's for all the 20-somethings out there, here's a little insight into healthy relationships. Okay, healthy relationships, opposites don't attract. Whoever said that was a scientist and had no clue what people mean, okay? That is a physics principle that has nothing to do with people. Opposites may attract. You might be attracted to someone that's very different than you, but I'm telling you, it's going to make for an unhealthy, horrible relationship. You have to have similar views on money. You have to have similar views on morality. You have to have similar views on how you treat your friends and family. You have to have the same core values. If politics is important to you, you have to have similar views on that. You don't need to be the same, but you need to be similar. You need to complement each other. Being kind and respectful should be a norm and shouldn't be something you have to work at every day. Not in a healthy relationship. Romance is something you have to work at more often. Making sure life doesn't get in the way is something every relationship has to work at. But getting along and being good to each other, no. That is not something you should have to work at. When people that have been together for 60-something years and are really adorable and say to, I just knew. It makes sense. It just made sense. Being with this person is easy. They're not lying to you. They're not making it up. And they're not some very rare exception. That's reality. That's a healthy relationship. It's not always day-to-day easy, but it is simple. And I really wish Hollywood would show that more. That's Monica and Chandler.
Yeah, well, like I said before, and just because I've seen it in so many interviews by people who are creative people, what's it called? Moonlighting somehow became gospel.
Right.
And because it didn't work on Moonlighting when they got them together, it never works.
Yeah, it comes down to...
And that's it. They, you know, apparently you can't write anything more than that. Apparently that's impossible. That never happens in reality. No one can acknowledge that. No one can relate to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's absolutely ridiculous because the people that can't relate to it are people that don't have healthy relationships. And that is just, that is not necessarily a thing we should be encouraging.
Yeah, and it's just, I think it's just a bit lazy when it comes to work and writing because it's just like, well, I don't want to think, so let me just have them fight and that'll be it.
Now, people that have a healthy relationship always appreciate each other.
And yeah, people forget all the things that were done that did work on that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I wasn't a regular watcher of the show. Everyone Loves Raymond was fairly successful for many years.
Yes.
They were already married with kids at the point of having of the show starting. It's not like this is a show about 18-year-olds getting married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting together and fighting and breaking up and everything.
Right. And honestly, if you really look at the fundamentals of their relationship and who they are, they're actually a reasonable match.
Which show are we talking about?
Loves Raymond. They're actually a reasonable match. Yes, part of the premise of the show is when they fight over stupid things. Raymond being a stereotypical guy and her being a stereotypical wife in terms of, like, white suburban America. But, believe me, they're not far off in terms of who they are with each other.
Yeah, Home Improvement was another show that was successful for many years that was about a married couple that had three kids. I think at the time when the show started, granted the kids were young, but I don't think anyone of them younger was, none of them was a toddler.
Right.
They're at least like 10 years old, I think.
Yeah, no, it comes down
it's doable.
Yeah.
You just have to try.
And this isn't me touting anything. Well, actually it is, but not in some superior, evil way, but I've been through the dysfunctional relationships. I've had them. I've had relationships that have bordered on emotionally abusive. Okay? My husband, who you hear me currently talking to, there's a reason we're married. Okay? Was it love at first sight, eyes across a room, die hard, Hollywood written romance? No, it wasn't. It was 18 years of friendship. And I finally figured out, finally, after many frogs and a bad engagement what I should be looking for in a partner, in a person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with, waking up with every day. It took someone very close to me going through multiple miscarriages and a very bad marriage. And those miscarriages woke her up to the fact that the person she was with, she did not want to wake up with every day. Because that person didn't support her. When she was going through the hell of those miscarriages, all he wanted to focus on was how tough it was on him. Not that it wasn't hard on him, but he wasn't interested in what she was going through.
Ooh, I did not know that.
And that left a very... And there were a lot of other issues in that marriage, but that's kind of like the wake-up call. The other piece of that wake-up call was this person found out they can have kids. Changed life aspect. And because this person was so close to me, it helped wake me up a little bit. Because I realized finding a husband has nothing to do with having kids. Nothing. I needed to take that out of the equation, because as much as I would love to have children, that's not who I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a baby daddy. Because guess what? I can find a baby daddy. I don't have to be married. I can find a baby daddy in a million different ways. And even if I just like a guy and want him to be my baby daddy, I can have the court force him to pay child support. I can find a baby daddy and raise a kid.
Yeah.
What I needed to find was somebody I wanted to wake up with every day, regardless of kids. Because who knew what was going to happen when I tried to have kids? Was I 100% sure I could have kids? No, some of those issues you don't know until you try. So it woke me up to, what am I doing? And so with all of that, one day I was standing with my dear friend, chatting as we always do, talking about inane crap just like we are here. And I realized how much we had in common that was important. Not that we like all the same shows. Husband's far more into comics than I'll ever be. And I'm far more into procedural crime shows than he'll ever be. And we definitely have some serious differences. But at the end of the day, I realized how we are with our families is the same. How we are with our friends is the same. Of course, we share some of the same friends.
Yeah.
How we look at money and what's important with that is not exactly the same, but similar enough.
Close enough.
And all of the different priorities in terms of what makes life important, we more or less match up on for the most part, with minor differences.
See, I felt lucky. I didn't have to go through those frogs beforehand.
Yes, of course you did. No, you didn't have to go through any. There wasn't anyone that hated me, didn't even know me, just hated me by conception. Yes, he had a girlfriend that hated me, absolutely hated me. She had only met me. She had no idea who I was. She just decided she hated me. But, you know, and some of his other girlfriends were very nice. But no, you know what? Figured out, wow, we actually have all the kind of the right things in common. Maybe I should consider this one. And you know what? Yeah, we got married.
You did?
We got married through stuff that would break most couples up.
True.
We moved in together, I got laid off in the worst recession that we've had in a long time. Money became a major issue. Debt up to our eyeballs and a half. And through that, we still decided to get married. Still had a wedding.
Very nice one.
Yes. And still wanted to do that. I can't speak for my husband, but I can say there was not ever a single day. And believe me, I had a couple days where I thought about jumping in front of a train, and that's not an exaggeration, and he knows that. But there wasn't a single day throughout all of that, no matter how bad it got, that I ever thought I didn't want to marry him. Not once. I didn't have cold feet the day of my wedding. I was nervous. Maybe the flowers wouldn't be right. Maybe it would rain. I don't know. But I wasn't. Not one second did I ever think, am I making the right choice in my spouse? So
you never were planning on climbing out a window?
No. Okay. Never planning on climbing out a window.
Well, that's good to know.
You know, so that's the other thing, cold feet. If you're questioning whether or not you should marry someone or should be married at all, consider not doing it.
Hopefully before the day of.
Hopefully before the day of, but sometimes it takes the reality of that sinking in. And I can tell you, most of the people I know that felt that way either shouldn't be married and are only still married by the skin of their teeth.
Or are no longer married.
You know, look at the people you know that don't fight all the time, that don't have a major drama. You know, maybe they don't have the most over-the-top romantic life you've ever heard, but I can promise you, their day-to-day is a hell of a lot better. You know, do not look at all of that. Sleepless in Seattle is lovely, but it's crap. You know, Snow White's adorable. It's crap. Cinderella or Pretty Woman, fun, endearing, but crap.
But what if you really do find that hooker with a heart of gold?
No doubt there's hookers with a heart of gold, but she ain't marrying no millionaire. The best that she'll marry is a decent working class guy, and she actually wants something in terms of a different life. Now, you don't... Like attracts like, and like works with like. And I'm not saying people from different socioeconomics can't be together. That's also insane. Figure out what core values are, find out what yours are, and you'll have a better idea of who's a good match for you. You can love a lot of people. You can always love the wrong people.
Yeah.
My husband and I can both attest to that. We're not these crazy people that actually say, we're the only ones that we've ever really loved. Oh, God, no. We didn't get married at 39 because we're the only people each other has ever loved. I've loved other men. He has loved other women. We just know that they were not the right ones. In some ways, they just weren't the right ones and maybe broke our hearts.
Yeah.
And other times, we'll still celebrate the fact that we got out of those relationships.
Yes.
And nothing against those people. They should be celebrating the fact that they got out of the relationship with us.
Yeah.
Because the matches were bad.
Because no one would have been happy in those marriages.
No. Some of my exes, oh boy, I would definitely be... I would definitely be multiple times divorced or very miserable. I'm not sure which.
Or both.
Being married means you don't regret your marriage. You know, yes, he gets on my nerves. Of course he does. I have no doubt I get on his nerves.
Never.
We do not have a perfect relationship.
I would never admit that while recorded.
But I will say this while recorded. No matter what happens, no matter what we argue about, no matter how we fight, which we don't actually fight a lot, we're never mean to each other. I don't think we've ever been mean to each other. Not
intentionally.
Not intentionally, and certainly not seriously.
Yes.
I've been mean to you unseriously.
Yes.
I have. I've taken his phone away.
You've been mean on recordings to me.
Right. But no, we've never actually been...
And in fact, that's gotten positive feedback.
Yeah. We've never been mean to each other in anger. And we hope that that will always be the case. But more importantly, no matter what goes on, whether or not I'm having a good day or he's driving me crazy or vice versa, again, you can't speak for him. Hopefully he'll agree with this. But I never spend any second of any day regretting my marriage. Yes, it's only been a few years, but I have known him for over 20 years at this point.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we've been together for a few years, son, and we knew each other 18 when we got together, so do the math. What, 22 years now?
3?
23? Yeah. So.
Or 4.
Yeah, I'm confident that Even in 20 years, yes, some of the things that drive me a little crazy now will probably be slightly bigger later on. But I don't think for any second ever I'm going to say, no, I shouldn't have gotten married to him. Because we may or may not have kids. We may or may not have everything else that we would like. But I know we've powered through things that have broken up other couples and other marriages. Finances are usually the biggest reason couples break up.
Yeah.
And we manage that. No matter how imperfect a relationship is, I'm confident my husband wouldn't cheat on me because it's not the guy he is.
Oh, yeah, I should respond here. Yeah,
yeah, you should agree.
I should agree. Yeah, yeah, she's right.
Yeah. Plus, I think he's a little scared of me and my best friend, who also happens to be one of his best friends, if he ever did.
Thank God she lives in another state.
She would hunt you down and find you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
That's it for this episode. Not that the conversation stopped. It went on, in fact. But it evolved from what you heard into us talking about different relationships that were shown on mostly on movies and TV, and whether we thought they were examples of good, healthy relationships or bad relationships. So I kind of felt, since that went long enough and was different enough, that that's going to be its own episode. So that's what's going to be on next time. For now, however, I do want to thank a few people who helped share the last episode, episode 5, The Illusion of Love and Other Insanities, and Ted Mosby and Ross Geller. These people helped share the show on social media, and we really do appreciate it. So thank you to Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Pat Sampson, Mike Peacock, Clifford Alvarez, Randall Andrews, Justin Lesniak, and Michael Lane, who either shared or liked the show on Facebook, and to Justin the Buck for liking it on Twitter. Now, before we get to that new episode, I'd like to hear what you people think were examples in pop culture of either good, healthy relationships, or ones that, even though they showed them as like, oh, this is a great relationship, were really bad relationships, or would be bad in reality. Let us know your thoughts on that. Get us on Twitter, at the PC Palace. On Facebook, search for Pop Culture Palace, and our page is right there. You can like it and comment on there. Or, of course, you can send an email, thepalaceofpopculture@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye. All opinions expressed on this show are merely that, our opinions. Any TV shows, movies, comics, novels, whatever played in clips or discussed on the show are copyright, their respective copyright holders. No infringement is intended.